of Juma from the night before. And then he obviously prepares for the day of Juma. Once he has prepared for the day of Juma, then he takes maximum benefit from the day of Juma. But the person who takes the least benefit from the day of Juma is that person who wakes up on the day of Juma in the morning and he says, and he asks others around him, is today the day of Juma? So really, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his infinite mercy has blessed us with this day of Juma, and we ought to value this day of Juma. There are other places in the world where, for example, in South Africa, we are allowed, say for example, if this masjid has a capacity of 1,000, we are allowed to have a gathering that exceeds 1,000. In the UK, there are countries, in the UK, there are cities that they are not allowed to have gatherings that go beyond 250. So how much we ought to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us just together. And then the other is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in complete peace. As we are aware that there are places in the world where those people who come to the masjid, they sometimes don't know if those masjids are even still there. They sometimes don't know whether they come out of those masjids alive. And if they come into the masjid, they don't know whether they'll make it to the afternoon. And some of those places, those masjids aren't even there. But they still make efforts to go and perform their Salatul Jama'ah. They perform their Salatul Jum'ah with Jama'ah. So really, this is a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And this comes from the side of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having taught us that the day of Jum'ah is something that is very, very valuable in the sight of a believer. And we learn in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the person who makes a ghusl, who walks towards the masjid, who applies ether, who uses his miswak, and many other deeds he does, and then walks to the masjid and does not jump over the shoulders of others. For every single step that this person will take, then he will be given a year's reward of standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of fasting and doing good deeds. And this is only walking towards the masjid. And this person is only doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this lesson we learn from here as well, that whatever we do in life, it should be for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we will endeavor to do this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously will reward us greatly in the hereafter. But anyway, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us this, that the day of Jum'ah is something that is very great in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He calls it an illuminated day, an illuminated night. That on these days, what we should be doing is that we should be engaging in an abundant durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you look at it, really, this is a token of appreciation to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That, O Nabi of Allah, you have taught us these good deeds, these doors of goodness, that we can gain the pleasure and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The little bit that we can do from our side is to thank you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by reciting abundant salawat and durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ulama mentioned that abundance would mean that a person recites at least 300 durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is daily. But then on the day of Friday, we should increase even more. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, he used to mention that let not the day of Friday pass without you reciting at least 1,000 durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you actually think about it, it won't take us even more than 20 minutes to recite durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salawat and salam upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the shortest durood that we can recite upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So really, we ought to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every single bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. And the greatest bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with is that of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And really, there's not even a single Muslim, male or female, who doesn't have an iota, who doesn't have the minimum amount of love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having done so much for us, we naturally have that inclination towards Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even though sometimes our iman may be weak, we may be weak in our a'mal, but we all have that love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then this love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stems from what? This love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stems from the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself missed us. He yearned to be with us. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum that I wish to see my brothers. So the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were worried. Say, Ya Nabi Allah, aren't we your brothers? We are with you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say, no, you are not my brothers. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are my companions, you are with me. My brothers are those people who will wish that they could sacrifice whatever they can just so they could see me. Look, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yearned and he missed to be with us, he yearned to be with us. But then, something that is very, very interesting, that yes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yearned to see us and he yearned to meet us. But on the day of Qiyamah, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be at the hold, the same Nabi who yearned to be with us, he will chase a group of people away. These people will be brought before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they will be, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be trying to give them to drink from the hold, the kawthar. So then the malaika will come and they will chase them away. Nabi Sassam will be naturally perturbed that these people, these are the same people I yearn to meet in the dunya, so to say. But today they are being chased away from my hold. So then the malaika will say that you do not know what things they brought up, they introduced into your deen. In other words, bid'ah. So then these people will be chased away from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself will say, Suhqan, get away. You introduce things into deen which were not part of my deen. The same Nabi who yearned to be with us, on that day he will be chasing those people who introduce matters that are not part of the deen. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cried for us. So once Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was reciting a verse of the Quran Majid, and he reached the place, in tu'adhibhum fa innahum ibaduk, that, oh Allah, if you punish them, then verily they are your servants. And if you forgive them, then, oh Allah, you are the most forgiving. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cried profusely. He cried. So then here the ulama mentioned that, look what concern Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had for us. That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you and I, he hasn't seen us. As a matter of fact, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had for you and I is more than our actual parents. For example, if a person has a grandparent, father, etc., these people are normally concerned about us. Sometimes our parents, in their concern for us, they will perhaps bequeath for us some wealth, they will set up a trust fund, they will do things so that we can benefit after they are long gone. But then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was even concerned, was more concerned than for us, than had more concern for us than our own grandparents, etc. That he wished well for us before we were even born, not only that, before our parents were even born. So this is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So then he's crying for us, that I wish that these people are forgiven. And then once on another occasion, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had made a dua. He saw Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he's in a very good mood. So then she went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, make dua for me. And here is a lesson on its own, that whenever we get the opportunity, the thing that we should be asking for is the hereafter. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, this is the thing they asked for, as we'll inshallah explore later on. So Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala could have asked for anything else, but she said, Ya Nabi Allah, make dua for me. So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes dua for Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and says, oh Allah, forgive Sayyidah Aisha her current, her sins, her past sins, her future sins, and oh Allah, eventually enter into Jannah. So then she became so happy that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam observed the happiness on her face. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked her, that, oh Aisha, does this dua that I made for you make you happy? She said, of course, your dua is making me happy. She smiled so much that her head went on her lap. So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this dua makes you very happy. She said, yes. She said, this, by Allah, I take a qasam, this is a dua that I make for my ummah in every salah. This is the dua that I make for my ummah in every salah. So this is the Nabi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, who was forever concerned about our well-being. And then the fourth thing they mention is that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam obviously will be waiting for us on the hold of Kawthar on the day of Qiyamah. One Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala who asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on the day of Qiyamah, where should I look for you? So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you will find me on the Sirat, on the bridge of Sirat, where it is thinner than a blade, it is thinner than a hair, sharper than a blade of a sword. And people will have to walk on this just to make it to the other side. So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said, you'll find me here. So then Sayyidina Anas radiallahu said, what if I don't find you there? Then Nabi Sallallahu said, you'll find me by the scales. In other words, Nabi Sallallahu will be looking at the well-being of the ummah. Said, how can I make sure that every single ummati of mine is safe from the fire of Jahannam? He says, but then if I don't find you there, then he says that you will find me at the Hawd al-Kawthar. So here Nabi Sallallahu will be waiting for us, making our istiqbal. In the hadith, the words come, wa ana faratukum, I will go before you. Just like how we see that sometimes when an important person is coming for a safar, etc., then sometimes the khuddam, they'll go to the hotel or wherever that person is staying just to make sure everything is set properly. So in a similar manner, Nabi Sassam will be there. He will be waiting for us. He will be waiting there so that he can welcome us. This is the amount of love that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had for us. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, unlike other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, of course, Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with this. This is not something that a person can achieve on his own. So the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, all were blessed with one particular dua. So some of them, they made this dua in this very world. For they give the example of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, that they asked for a kingdom that is unmatched. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with that. And other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had various dua. But then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he says on the day of Qiyamah, everybody will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will want the Qiyamah to start. So then they will go by the various Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and they will ask them that beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Qiyamah to start. And then everybody will make an excuse, say, I'm not worthy of that. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is worthy of that. There is one part where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will help the entire creation. And then on the other end is where every Nabi will be worried about themselves when the actual reckoning starts. Then the ummatis will go by them. And they will say, I need to sort myself out, basically. Nafsi, nafsi. I need to sort myself out first. But when our ummah, this ummah will go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they will ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Nabi Allah, there is problems before us. Qiyamah is about to start. We have to go give our reckoning before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will say, Ya Rabbi, ummati, ummati. Oh Allah, my ummah, have mercy on my ummah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I also have this special dua, and this dua I will use for my ummah on the day of Qiyamah. So this is the mercy that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually had on the ummah. And in English, they normally say that love is a two-way street. So if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has so much love for us, how much love are we showing for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if we are making the claim that we love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we all say so, that we love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. If you are saying that you love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then say, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, follow me. Then if you will follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what will you get? You will become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you will become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happens when a person is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. Hello Jibreel, I like this person. I love this person. You also love him. Then Jibreel alayhi salam tells the other malaika that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this person, you also should love him. Thereafter an announcement is made that this person is beloved by the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you also should love him. Thereafter then this person becomes beloved to the entire creation. So when a person is beloved to the entire creation, that's when you find that out of nowhere, that people are attracted to this person. Why? Because he's beloved in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this cannot happen until and unless a person is following in the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we hear, they commonly say, Naqsh qadam nabi ke hai, sunnat ke raaste, Allah se milate hai, sunnat ke raaste. That the only way that is leading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by following Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also in Arabic they say, At-turuq ila Allah bi adadi anfas al-khalaik. كلها مسدودة إلا من اقتفى بأثر الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. All the ways leading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are closed. The way that is the only way that is open that can lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that way which a person will follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for this we need to understand what are the rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the ulama mentioned that the first right that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enjoys upon the ummah is that we have to believe in Allah, of course, and then we have to believe in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majid, فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالنُّورِ الَّذِي أَنزَلْنَا. That we have to believe in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the other is we have to obey Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ. In many verses of the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is a binding duty upon us to obey Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And obedience of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such a binding factor that in another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Whatever the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you to do, then take that, you do that, you follow that. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنُّ فَانْتَهُوا. And whatever he tells you that you stay away from, then you refrain from that. And this is the benchmark of love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a person is claiming that he loves Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he needs to prove his love by showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I will follow your Nabi. You have asked us to follow your Nabi. In some poetry they mention, تَعْصِلْ إِلَهَ وَأَنْتَ تُظْهِرُ حُبَّ. You claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but you are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it says then after that, لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا. If you are true in your claim of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you would have obeyed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all his matters. إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. Then the person who has a beloved, then he is obedient towards his beloved. So if we are not following Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then really we are not true in our claim of loving Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you are claiming that you love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you have to follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the only way that we can show Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we love them. And then they mentioned thereafter that the fourth thing is to love everything that is attributed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This aspect, we all understand this, that when a person is going to Madinah Munawwara, there is just that jazba, there is that yearning in his heart. Once he sees the green dome, he just falls in love with that place. And this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that look, there are millions of people who never saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they are already attracted. They are already attracted to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we understand from a worldly perspective, why are people attracted to somebody? Even if sometimes that attraction and that love is not warranted or it is not correct, there are three things primarily that create love within a person. One is some kamal, some excellence. A person can do something very well, so you become attached towards that person. The other, he has some external beauty, so you become attracted to that person on the basis of beauty. And the other is, some person shows you some kindness. You become attracted to this person on account of some kindness towards that person. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to the highest level, all his qualities are found in him. Therefore, even long after 1,400 years, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has passed on. But people are yearning. They would give whatever they can just to go to Madinah Munawwara, to be in the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the man, you're not even going to see the man. But this is the magnetic effect that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has kept in everything that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did, in his lifestyle, in everything that is around Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is something that will create love between us. Also, if you follow the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you observe the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, what was the bonding factor amongst them? It was the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, we see them, that a man comes to Madinah Munawwara, he asks that, I want to learn something about the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He is told that go to Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. He resembled Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the most. And then the Khulafai Rashidin, the extent of love they had for they had for Sahaba in general, but also the love that they had for the Ahl Bayt of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just to illustrate this point, once some ghanimat, some booty came to Madinah Munawwara during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, his habit was, he used to prefer those who were senior in their service to Islam. So he gave the children of those who participated in battle, and then the wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and of course, those who were related to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So then it happened such that there was a pair of clothing that he wanted to give to Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu. But there wasn't enough of those clothing, that pair of clothing. So he got one made, and when that was made, he said, now only I'm happy. And then on another occasion, when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu's father accepted Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu said to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that had your uncle Abu Talib accepted Islam, I would have been more happy, because I know that would have brought happiness to your heart. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu used to say to Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu, before he accepted Islam, that accept Islam. You know, your accepting Islam will make me more happy than my own father accepting Islam. So things that are related to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we should also love. And then to honor and respect Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and everything that is linked to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then how can we develop the love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So we'll run through a few points very quickly. Number one is, every home, every single home, we should make an effort that within the week, if we cannot do it every day, but at least once a week, to study some aspect of the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the seerah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Some of us should ask ourselves that the last time we heard about the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the mother, the father, the way, the circumstances around which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam grew up in, was in Maktab, when we were about maybe 14 or 10 years old perhaps. This is unbecoming of a believer, that we know very little about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yet, if sometimes we ask each other about sports and other things, we know more than that than we know about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is really unfair on our part. And then the second is to love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as was mentioned earlier on. Then the third is to be obedient to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to follow the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And something that is very important, which we tend to take lightly. Sometimes a person engages in this and he doesn't think much of it. But he doesn't know that when a person's deeds are presented before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he hears that this person is doing this particular deed, for example, a person is shaving his hair, he's shaving his beard. This is something that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam does not like. Now imagine when this is presented before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doesn't like to hear such news. So we cannot claim to be loving Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when we're doing contrary. So to stay away from all sins, and especially those sins that are expressly mentioned to have caused taklif, inconvenience to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then to be honest in business. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives a promise for this person. He says the person who is honest in business, then on the day of Qiyamah, he will be with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the pious and the martyrs, etc. Now of course, if he will be with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the Sayyidul Anbiya, the leader of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then caring for an orphan, something that is often neglected, that we should care for an orphan. Sometimes in our own families, we don't even look after the orphans. That orphan is actually a child of our brother or sister. Say, hey, I got my own lot to worry about. I can't take care of that orphan. Whereas Nabi Sallam promises that the person who takes care of an orphan, then me and him will be like this on the day of Qiyamah. Imagine the closeness that Nabi Sallam promises. And this, perhaps if we can't do it in our context, our brothers in Gaza, our brothers in Syria, their children, they have passed on. Like this journalist who passed away recently, what was his bequest? The bequest that he made, that he said, take care of my children, take care of my wife, etc. The minimum that we can also do as Muslims is to send some money at least towards those people. And then the other is to serve the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That sahabi of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he serves Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asks him, what do you want? Salma badalak. So then he says, Ya Nabi Allah, I want your companionship in Jannah. Perhaps we are aren't there to serve the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi no longer with us, that we can serve him physically, but we can serve the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whenever there is something taking place, maybe perhaps there is a masjid that needs repairs, there's a masjid that needs a wuzu khana, then perhaps we should be in the first line, that this is something to do with the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to be upheld in that wuzu khana. People are going to go in that wuzu khana, they are going to perform salah in the manner in which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught. So we are serving the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also in that manner. So to do this, and then we'll gain closeness to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then to be of service to the creation. The person who sees to the need of his brother, obviously this person will get multiple rewards. And amongst those rewards is that he will gain closeness to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And abandon durood, to recite abandon durood upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the person who will be closest to me on the day of Qiyamah will be that person who recites abandon durood upon me. So we should try this, make it a habit that we should gather our family folk, our women folk, and our children, etc., to recite durood upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then the other is to make dua to be with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, I ask you the favor of being with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the hereafter. And then to do those deeds which will gain us the intercession of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Some things are not in our control. For example, we cannot choose where we're going to pass away. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives a guarantee of his intercession for the person who passes away in Medina Munawwara. You and I cannot choose that. The most we can do, we can prepare. You can, if you have the interventions, you adopt them, and then you pay for iqama, you get it done, whatever, then Allah Ta'ala takes your soul there if he will so. That is not in our control. But the other two things that we can do that are in our control is, after the azan, when the azan is called out, then we respond firstly to the azan. Thereafter, we recite the dua that is meant to be recited after the azan. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, this person who will recite the dua after the azan, wajabat lahu shafa'ati. My shafa'at becomes necessary and wajib for this person who will recite the dua after the azan. Something simple, doesn't cost us much, and we all can do this. And then the other deed we can do is recite abandon durood. These are two deeds that are completely in our control. If we want to be close to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the day of Qiyamah, and to mimic the lifestyle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the best of our ability, in his dressing, in his akhlaq more importantly. Not very long ago, we heard the clip that was going around, that person is insulting his fellow Muslim brothers. This is not becoming of a Muslim, that you insult your Muslim brothers, you swear them, etc. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with a position in society, it is not meant to be abused, that now that person is working for you, you take that person as a slave. He's not your slave, he's working for you. You should honor that person. And if you will oppress that person, then think of that hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, one person came to him and says, I have servants or slaves that work for me. I punished them. So he says, will I be taken to task for this? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, see, if you are punishing them according to their misdemeanor, then it is equal. But if you go one up, then you are in troubles on the day of Qiyamah. So let us ask ourselves how we treat our staff, etc. If we are doing more than what we are supposed to do, then on the day of Qiyamah we already have problems. Al-dhulmu dhulumat yawm al-qiyamah. And this was the last advice of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is passing away. He says, As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. Take care of your salah and take care of those people who are under your control, who are your subordinates. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.